And now Neil Conan, your usual host for this program, is back in Florida. I can't help but notice Neil tends to go to Florida in the winter, this time on the other side of the state, hanging out at member station WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida. He joins us from there today with a story about a subject that might be close to many of your hearts, football.
Thanks, Rebecca. That's right. A lot of fans here are not happy this season. A once unusual phenomenon has become commonplace. You've got your chili on the stove, the team jersey on, the beer chilled. You turn on the flat screen, and boom, blackout. If you're here in Jacksonville, that's happened every single home game this season. It's because of the National Football League's policy. A game will not be broadcast in the team's local market if the stadium is not sold out 72 hours prior to kickoff. The rule dates to 1973. It's intended to spur ticket sales in most markets, most of the time. It's hardly ever invoked, but in these tough economic times, well, it's not just Jacksonville. Fans in Arizona, Cincinnati, Detroit, San Diego, Cleveland, let us know how you feel about this rule. Do blackouts work? Does the threat get you off the couch and into the stadium? Call us, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Our guest here in the studios of WJCT is Abel Harding. He's the business columnist at the Florida Times Union, and thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
And been a tough season. We just found out that today, Sunday's game against the Houston Texans is going to be, guess what, blacked out.
That's correct, and that's been the trend all year, and it will continue. Really, their hope is, we've got a December 17th game coming up against the Colts, and they're hoping that that will be the one game so we don't become the only team in the NFL history to ever have a completely blacked out season.
Blacked out. Well, that's an attractive team, Peyton Manning and the as yet undefeated
sure.
Indianapolis Colts.
Sure.
So that a nationally broadcast game, too.
Our only nationally broadcast game of the season.
How many, I understand, like 46,000 people, something like that, go to the games on average?
Yeah, on average, we've averaged this year a little bit less than that, and that's been part of the issue. The stadium seats right around 66,000 people, and the big problem is last year we had 17,000 ticket holders not renew their season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about a trend, that's a pretty big number for any team to make up, and that was a big hit.
You see in a lot of markets, if you know there are 3,000 seats short of selling out, the local pizza operator
yeah.
or somebody will buy up the last 3,000 seats, but you know, pumping out for 20,000 seats, that's
yeah.
a lot.
Well, and that's what used to happen here. Winn-Dixie is a national grocery chain. They used to step up the plate. They'd buy a couple thousand tickets. The TV station, the local TV station that was going to broadcast it, would buy tickets so they could
sell commercials. Yeah.
Exactly. But when you lose 17,000 ticket holders and all of a sudden you're down to 25,000 regular season ticket holders and you've got to sell out a 66,000 seat stadium, That's a lot of tickets for local merchants to purchase.
And must raise questions, here in Jacksonville at least. Are you, in fact, worthy of having a National Football League team? Is this a major league city?
That's the big question that's been raging all year. It's not a new question. It's just really become pertinent this year. And we've had local leaders. The Jacksonville Regional Chamber of Commerce has stepped up to the plate and said, we are an NFL city. We're going to remain one, and we're going to prove to the rest of the country we can retain that. So they've really stepped to the plate. They've got a push going on to sell tickets for the December 17th game and then really develop a plan long term over the next 2 to 3 years to prove to a future owner that the team is viable in Jacksonville.
And it's not just that the team is suddenly much worse this year than it has been in the past. It's not
no.
great and hasn't been for much of its history. But nevertheless, it really reflects the tough economic times hitting here pretty hard.
They are, and that's part of the issue. Last year, they had quite a terrible season, and we still didn't struggle with blackouts. So it's the economy, it's the team. They lost a star player, was let go, Fred Taylor, who was a University of Florida grad. A lot of people had followed him for years. That played into that. And so you combine all these forces together, and that's where you came up with your 17,000.
Well, you've mentioned something, University of Florida. This state is famous for ferocious, fanatic
yeah.
Following of college football. Pro football, not so much. Miami's always had a problem. Tampa's always had a problem.
Tampa's always had a problem, and I grew up, you know, very close to Tampa, and they were never selling out at that point. But they've somehow turned it around. But it has been a struggle here, and particularly when you've had the University of Florida, who's had two of the three last national titles they've had. It's people get used to winning. They want to go watch a winning team, and so they watch it on Saturday. And if their NFL team isn't winning locally, it becomes kind of an has-been.
It becomes a cycle because they don't go and they don't go and they don't
go. Exactly.
Yeah. Have ticket prices come down in an attempt to lure the fans back?
They have. And I've got to give it to the Jaguars organization. They've really tried to come up with plans, and they've said they're going to work on more plans. But right now, Jacksonville, if you compare ticket prices across the league, we're third from the bottom in average ticket price. You know, it's hard to argue that the ticket, they are expensive to a lot of people, yes. But when you're third from the bottom in average ticket price, it's hard to argue that that's the sole reason.
We're talking with Abel Harding, a business columnist at the Florida Times Union here at WJCT in Jacksonville about the NFL blackout policy. Well, this is the epicenter. Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Let's go to the phones, and we'll start with Michelle in Cincinnati.
Hi.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I just have always thought it's so aggravating that we voted a tax increase so that we could build a new stadium for the Bengals, a team that I love, and most businesses don't get a building built for them, and it's their own responsibility to sell their product. So I don't think it's fair to the taxpayers when a game is blacked out.
Those taxpayers who, of course, helped contribute to construct the facility. Indeed, that's a question that's come up. The Jacksonville facility?
Absolutely, and that's been a big deal. And that's where it goes back to. A lot of people say maybe the NFL's being a bit greedy here, enforcing the blackout rule in the middle of an economic downturn. Maybe if they're making plenty of money, maybe if they had some consideration, they might waive it for a year or so, but they have not done that. And there's been a lot of discussion about that.
People and Michelle, how often have the Bengals been blacked out?
I know at least once. We have a channel where we are lucky to be able to find it somewhere else, but those people who can least afford tickets certainly don't have that option. And I see a lot of money spent on old-time uniforms and things like that, and it just doesn't seem like fair play.
The Bengals are having also a terrific season this year,
and
if people are going back for those throwback uniforms. They were pretty hideous, so they must love their team.
I guess, but I love the Bengals, but I think they should always be on.
Thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's go next to Phil. Phil's calling us from Stockton, Oklahoma.
Actually, I'm calling you from Stockton, California. My apologies
okay.
there.
All right. Well, it said okay here. Maybe that meant, they meant that you're okay.
We're fine and we're okay here.
Okay.
The market that we're in, we're San Francisco 49ers in Oakland, and we've seen some blackout activity. And there are two things that we have to look at. One, is the team actually going to perform and make a game worthy of coming to? Because you have not only the drive over to see the game, then you have to worry about parking and then getting out of the game. So, you know, that's another 4 or 5 hours on top of the game. So it's a full game day event for sure. But then my family of four, it's a $500 bill for me to be able to take them to go see the football game. By the time it's all over and done with, $500 is a nice chunk of change for a normal working family.
It sure is, and they're trying to get you to sign up to various kind of season plans, partial seasons, that sort of thing. It's a major commitment.
That it is. And, you know, we have minor league hockey and so forth, and we find that, you know, the lower prices that we can afford to pay there make it a worthwhile and exciting event.
It's an interesting point you should make. There is here in Jacksonville, Abel, a minor league baseball team, the
yes.
Jacksonville Suns, Double A Southern League. How do they do?
They do very well, but they've had a very successful few years and competed for the title. So I mean, you go there on a Saturday night, and they've got quite a crowd. So they're doing fine.
But those prices are way lower,
significantly less, and you can park for say $5 or $10 as opposed to $20 for parking. And then by the time you buy beer and hot dogs and
given what Phil's talking about, maybe the business plan of an NFL franchise is just beyond what people are willing to do in this market.
Well, that's the big question, and that's what community leaders are finally stepping up and saying, you know, we believe it is, and we're going to show the rest of the country that it is.
All right, Phil, thanks very much, and I apologize for mistaking your state.
Not a problem.
Let's go next.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Get another caller in. This is Paul. Paul in Garden Valley, California.
Hello.
Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm in the foothills east of Sacramento, and the Oakland Raider games are blacked out for us, most home games. I don't feel that a blackout rule necessarily promotes or encourages people to go out and buy tickets. Really, to the contrary, I think that it kind of makes people a little angry.
And therefore less likely to go to the game?
Less likely, yeah. I don't think that for a larger fan base, I don't think that it really gets people to or motivates people to go out and see games. So, you know, the cost of games is prohibitively expensive to a lot of the fans, and they would rather watch it on TV anyway.
Okay, thanks very much for the phone call. And he does raise an historical point.
Sure.
We mentioned this policy dates back to 1973. It was more restrictive before mm-hmm. that. I'm old enough to remember that people would, I lived in and around New York City at the time, they would drive across the Connecticut
yep.
line where every motel on I-95 just on the other side of the Connecticut line said, you know, football games available here, and you'd rent a room for the afternoon because they were always blacked out. In yep. the home market.
That was the policy, and that some of the greatest games ever played were blacked out in their home markets, so it's kind of an interesting point. But he does bring up a point. The problem at Jacksonville, it's such a young team mm-hmm. in terms of it's only been here.
Not a lot of tradition.
Exactly. So to build that fan base, you need kids to grow up watching the team, and when it's blacked out every Sunday that they've got a home game, that makes it difficult.
We're talking with Abel Harding of the Florida Times Union about the NFL blackout policy rule. You're listening to Talk of the Nation coming to you from NPR News. And ultimately, Abel, one of the questions it raises is, might this team migrate? There has been talk that there apparently is no National Football League team in Los Angeles, of all places.
Well, we have a perfect team for them, the Raiders. I mean, everyone already still calls them the L.A. Raiders, so that would be a perfect move. We're happy with the Jaguars here in Jacksonville, and we want to keep it that way. But obviously, that's the concern that community leaders have. The team has a tremendous economic impact on the city. It's brought a lot of positive energy to the city over the past 15 years. It's brought a Super Bowl to Jacksonville, something that would have never been fathomed. We would never fathom would be able to happen. So it's done a lot of positive things for Jacksonville, and that's what you're really seeing people start to step up and say. They recognize that it appears to be almost imminent if something's not done very quickly.
Well, that's a big issue of debate, because a lot of people say, wait a minute, they question the amount of taxpayer money that mm-hmm. goes into having a franchise here and building facilities and associated infrastructure, off-ramps and that sort of thing for the football team or the baseball team or whatever. You're saying the cachet of having a major league franchise, in this case an NFL franchise, is well worth it for the city?
Well, sure. I mean, there's a couple of different things you look at. For one thing, their median salary is significantly higher than the average citizen here in the city. So, you know, they employ a number of people there. There's a lot of couple hundred people employed at the organization. Their jobs provided on the weekends when the team's in town playing games. So there's a good economic impact, but not just that, but in terms of the marketing dollars, and that's where the city argues they would never be able to afford to spend the money to market themselves nationally like they're able to do with the Jaguars, particularly when the Super Bowl came to town. The city would have never been able to afford that type of marketing exposure.
And the other part, we happen to be this radio station, WJCT, just across the street
yeah.
From the park. But if the Jaguars weren't there, it would be used for what, one event a year?
Well, then that's the issue. The Florida-Georgia game, obviously, is the biggest sports event that goes on in this city every year. And would the city be able to maintain the stadium to the levels that needs to be maintained just for one game a year?
Let's get another caller on the line. Let's go to Steve, and Steve is calling us from Detroit.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that even though I have cable, I'm not sure if they've been blacking out the Lions. We're sure hoping they do.
Hey, they won a game this year.
Oh, well, you know. You know, last year, so much, although nobody's ever done what the Lions managed to do last season. So
last year, no, it's an unprecedented achievement, and they won't repeat it this year. Thanks very much for the call, Steve.
All right, thanks.
Let's go next to Jerry. Jerry calling us from Buffalo.
Neil, I'm glad you took my call. And I really just want to maybe expand a little bit on the point that Steve just made. And if for an NFL franchise, we up here in Buffalo have 80,000-seat outside arena, and we have the worst snow in the world. We consistently sell that stadium out every year. And that's because, relatively up to this point, Buffalo has put a good product out onto the field. Some would argue yes, and some would argue no. The problem with Jacksonville is their team stinks. And you can't expect people to sit there and fork out, even if it's their seats are the third bottom and lowest of in price-wise, you can't expect people to put out hard-earned dollars to go watch a team that's going to lose consistently week after week.
And the magnet there in Buffalo, if some people are concerned that team might end up in Toronto.
Yeah, exactly. They might. But you've got to give the people of Buffalo credit. They consistently sold out that stadium, and they even with a bad season like this, they've stood by the Buffalo Bills and sold that stadium out.
Well, a lot more history there anyway. But, Jerry, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thanks for taking me.
And, Abel, one last question for you. Sunday, in this blacked-out game, are you going to be in the seats watching the Houston Texans?
No, I'll actually be out of town this weekend, but I will be there on the 17th when they take on the Colts, absolutely.
Abel Harding, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Abel Harding is business columnist for the Florida Times Union. Our thanks as well to Jerry Cirillo, Scott Kim, Melissa Ross, and the wonderful staff here at WJCT, our member station in Jacksonville. And, of course, thanks to Rebecca Roberts for jumping into the hot seat today there in Studio 3A. We have a bittersweet goodbye today. For the last 3 months, Anna White-Knockleby has run our scripts, tracked down our guests, offered her ideas, and generally helped keep the program running. Her internship ends this week. She will move on to bigger and better opportunities. I'm here in Florida today, but from all of us back there at Talk of the Nation, thank you, Anna. Good luck on whatever comes up next for you. Tomorrow, it's Talk of the Nation Science Friday. Joe Palca will be here for a discussion on mental health treatment. Should it be more scientific? I'll be back there in Studio 3A on Monday. We'll see you then. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Jacksonville.